This is Fresh Brew with me, Jason Vandermark.
We've been in this rather about the Roman road, and we talked about salvation. We talked about, can you lose your salvation? We've talked about what it means to be saved, what it looks like going forward to be saved. But today I want to talk to you about the idea of basically just God being in our lives, but God being in our walk, God being in everything that we say, God being in everything that we do. And what that kind of looks like for us, because I think that when we grab a hold of that, salvation looks a little bit different. I think that when we grab a hold of that, grace looks a little bit different. When we grab a hold of that, our journey here on this earth seems to be just a little bit different. So let's go to Romans 5, if I've given you enough time, and we'll start with verse 1. It says this, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Somebody say peace. Peace. How many of you want peace? Like, I mean, we're living in a world today where it seems chaotic, right? No matter what you believe or where you turn, but it just seems very chaotic. It seems like nothing is very well put together. And so the idea of peace and the idea of shalom, that sounds really good to me. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exalt in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint." Somebody say amen. "Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For while we were the enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." I love that. Having been the enemies, do you know that at one time you were an enemy to God? You grab a hold of that? The idea that we were born into this nature, and it is not a nature of God, it's a sinful nature, right? We were born as this sinful being with the seed of man, because Adam and Eve sinned way back in the garden. I heard this one day, I never heard this joke before, but the fact that Eve ate Adam out of house and home, did you? I'd never heard that. Just the problem is that Adam followed, so that was the bad part, yeah. But because they did that, right, from that point on, man became sinful nature. Man became sin. Death reigned over man, and the problem with that is that becomes an enemy to God, because God is life, right? In God there is life. In God there is not death. But apart from God there is death. Right. Apart from God there is death. So we have become enemies. While we were enemies, while we were acting in our sinful nature, while we were operating as sinful human beings, Christ died for us. Why did he die for us? Because he loved us. That's that word again, love. And it's almost, I want to say it's complicated, like the title. It's complicated. But is it? I was talking with somebody the other day, and we were talking about relationships and things, and I thought, you know, if I ever, if God leads me down the path of getting married in my life again, then my question is, what kind of love would I want? Because when you're young, no offense, young people, but when you're young, or even in you're young in the relationship, the love is a little bit different than when you've been together for about 30 years. Amen? You tend to look at things a little bit different after you've had kids. Amen? You tend to see things a little bit different, and the love that you once thought was love kind of has faded away, right? But Does that mean that the love has faded? No. It just means that that kind of love that you thought that you required faded away. Because it wasn't important to you anymore. So what kind of love is important to me? And I got to thinking, like, what in my life, what kind of love would be the primo love, right? The prime deal. And I said to them, I said, I need somebody, I would need somebody who loves me, catch this, where my struggles are. Do you hear that? Somebody who loves me where my struggles are. How about this? Somebody who loves me where my sins are. That's huge. Because I've been a sinner. Anybody else been a sinner? Those of you not raising your hands, I'm telling you. We've all been there, haven't we? And then you kind of think, well, is that humanly possible for somebody to love you to the fullness, to the fullest measure, where they see your sin and they love you regardless? They love you no matter what. They see your sin, that's not a big deal to them. They see your struggles, that's not a big deal to them. They see your fears, that's not a big deal to them. They see your insecurities, that's not a big deal to them. Is that humanly possible? And you know what? I know this. Even if it's not humanly possible, it's godly possible, because that's where God is. When I was a sinner, when I was an enemy to Christ, he loved me so much that he died for me so that I could be called righteous. Somebody say righteous.
Righteous.
Now, you know what righteous means? Anybody? We've said this before. To be in right standing with God. I come to find out, though, that God doesn't just want some love affair with me. We know how affairs work. They don't tend to work out very well, do they? God doesn't want just some fling with me. I'm not some fad like, oh, I'm walking here with Jesus by my side. Yeah, look at me, paparazzi, blah, blah, blah. It's not like that. God doesn't want that kind of fling. God, you're not arm candy, you know what I'm saying? Some of you aren't eye candy. That would be me. I'm not eye candy either. Don't worry about it. It's okay. But yet God says, I love you so much that I'm going to send my son to die for you because I want to make you righteous because you can't do it on your own. So I need to help you out and I want to help you out. So I have seen where your sins are. Gary Walters, I have seen where your sins are.
I practiced the pause. Uh-huh.
And you did that with whose help?
He did it all by himself.
Can,
yeah, please say God. Otherwise, there's going to be lightnings. I have seen, who can I pick on today? I've seen Roberta's insecurities, and I love her so much. Insecurities and all. I've seen her sins, and I love her so much. Earl Modishead, I've seen him. And God goes, I love him. Man, I love him. Not just I love him, but I am knocked out about him. That's what God says. I'm knocked out about him. I'm knocked out about AJ and Gary and Carol and Leanne and Doug and Greg and all of you sitting in here. He says, I'm knocked out about you. I love you so much. And the reason why, and this is where I want to get to, the reason why it's so important to have somebody love you where your sins are, have somebody love you where your struggles are, have somebody love you where your insecurities are, and have somebody love you where all of those things that you're ashamed of are, is because love, the love that God has for you is light. Somebody say light.
Light.
The love that God has for you is light. And the Bible says, let's go to John if you got your Bible. While you're turning there, I'm going to reference Genesis 1. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was void. It was formless. It was darkness. And it was void. And it says the Spirit hovered over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be. Now, if you read in Genesis, you keep reading, I think it's like day three or whatever it is, that God creates the sun and the moon. These are lights to govern the day and lights to govern the night. That wasn't day one. God said in day one, let there be light. So what was he talking about? He's talking about himself. Let there be light. Let there be light in the darkness. And so John 1 says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light. Somebody say light. Of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. So those places where you are ashamed of who you are, you're ashamed of your insecurities, those things that you hide that nobody else can see, those fears and failures that you hide that nobody else can see. Genesis 3, I'm going there real quick. If you're taking notes, write this down. Genesis 3, and it says, this is after they had sinned, they had eaten. It says, their eyes were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves, right, from his presence. Why did they hide? Say it again. They were ashamed. We think they were naked and ashamed. Right? But it says that they sewed fig leaves together. It says that... It's really loud, isn't it now? It says that...
Hello.
It says that they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. So they were clothed. But when God come down, it said they were ashamed. He said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and ashamed. What's Adam saying? Because he's wearing clothes now. What? I mean, yeah. His clothes isn't covering his shame, right? His clothes is covering his body. When we're talking about that nakedness, we're talking about we are ashamed of all that we've done. We are ashamed of our sins. We're ashamed of our shortcomings and our failures. But the Bible says in John 1 that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot what? Can't comprehend it. It can't overcome it, can it? If you were to turn all of the lights down in this room, if you were to cover all the windows, if you were to make this room completely dark, and one of you pulled your phone out and turned the flashlight on, could the darkness engulf that flashlight? No, you would always see the light, right? It's the same with Jesus. You always see the light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. Why? Because where there's darkness, there's nothingness. Somebody say nothing.
Nothing.
Okay. Where there's darkness, there is nothingness. Did you know, scientifically speaking, I'm gonna go science here for a minute, that there is no such thing as cold. We call it cold. But they're technically, scientifically speaking, there is no such thing as cold. Cold is literally just the absence of heat. You can keep making things hotter. You can keep making things hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter, as hot as you can get it. But you can only take away so much heat for the cold to come. And once you reach that certain point of coldness where you've taken away all of the heat, do you know that you can't make it colder than that? Because all you have done is taken away heat. Right? Did you know that there's no such thing as that dark, night, darkness, there's no such thing as darkness either. Darkness is literally the absence of light. That's it. You can't get darker than dark. You can't, once you take away all of the light, You cannot get any darker. But you can keep adding light, and you can keep adding light, and you can keep adding light, and you can keep adding light. Why is this important? Because when you let God in to the very parts of you that you're ashamed of, when you let God into the very parts of you that are your shortcomings, when you let his love shine into those places, then you are letting light in the darkness. And do you know what happens when light comes in the darkness? The darkness can't comprehend it. So all those things that are done in the dark, all of those places where you're ashamed, if God's love seeps into that, then the darkness, those things that you're ashamed of, they can't remain. Amen? Let that grab a... Some of you, I know you're sitting there, some of you have struggles in your life. I won't name names, but some of you have struggles going on in your life. Some of you have sin going on in your life. I won't name names. Some of you have shortcomings in your life that you're sitting there dealing with. Some of you have fears that you're dealing with. Some of you have failures that you're dealing with. Those are places where you are naked and ashamed, right? Because you sit here today fully clothed, don't you? And you sit here today with people that you love, and you sit here today hoping that God will do some sort of work here in this place with you. But you're still naked and ashamed in those areas. And you need the light to shine in the darkness. Because when the light shines in the darkness, those places, those things, those fears, those failures, those shames, they can't stay there. They have to go. They have to go. Here's the other part of that, though. You have to recognize that you have sin in your life. Do you know that you have sin in your life? Let me ask you this. How many of you struggle with sin again? Deidre, you're the first one to raise your hand. Guaranteed everyone in this room has it. Right? But you got to know that you've got it. You got to know that you've got a problem. You got to know that you need a Savior. You got to know that you need God's love to shine in the darkness. We think that exposing the darkness, God is a God who is going to go out there, he's going to expose you for who you are, and he's going to condemn you in front of all these people, and he's going to do, that God is somehow up there, and every time that you screw up, that he's disappointed in you, and he's like, oh, what a failure. I loved Earl Modishead until he did that. Now it's like, oh, he's going to have to earn my love. Time's running short for him. Isn't that how we view God, though, sometimes in our life? We view God as this God who, that we have this group of people who should be holier than thou. And when we screw up, we think, well, were they really even saved if they screwed up? Were they saved? Were they really a believer if they did this over here? Well, the Bible says that people can stray all the time, that people come back. Think about the prodigal son. Think about James. Think about, go on and on. But God is not a God who is up there going, hey, you did this, and now I'm just going to come, I'm going to rain wrath upon you. No, what did it say here in Romans that we were just at? It says that we will be saved from God's what? Yeah, say it again. Say it louder. We will be saved from God's wrath. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The love of God. Catch that, verse 5. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within where?
Our hearts.
The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else because out of it flows what? I'm going to say it like this. Everything. Somebody say everything.
Everything.
Everything that you do. Guard your heart above all else because out of it flows, it's the springs of life. Out of it flows everything that you're about to do. Out of it flows all of your thinking. Out of it flows all of your desires. Out of it flows all of the shortcomings. Out of it flows all of your fears. Out of it flows on and on and on. And it says this, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. I would submit that practice the pause came because of the Holy Spirit. And Jane. But I would submit that we act because we have God. Apart from God, we can't act. Apart from his love, we can't act. While we were still helpless, somebody say helpless. At the right time, God died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, but perhaps for the good man, someone might even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that yet while we were sinners, he died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And then if you were to read the rest of chapter 5, it talks about the free gift of grace, which we'll talk about in times to come. But then he goes on to say in chapter 6, verse 1, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? And what's the answer? No. May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? And so what you need and what I need is for God to come down and for God to dwell into our hearts and for God to well up, fill our cup where there is darkness, where there is void, where there is hurt, where there is hopelessness, where there is failure, where there is anger, where there's sadness and grief and sorrow and sin and you name it. God comes down and fills our hearts with his love, fills our cup with his love, not with his condemnation, not with his finger pointing at us like you should have or you did this or blah, 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 but with his love so that one day our cup will be filled with his love. We will walk in his love. We will walk in the light. The Bible says, walk in the light as he is in the light, right? We will walk in the light and the darkness cannot comprehend it. That's an amen. Because when we walk out of these doors, we're going to face the world. We're going to face our troubles. We're going to face our struggles. We're going to face the people that really irritate us. We're going to face the people that have caused major issues within us. And when that happens, you have to know where you stand. Do you stand in the light or do you stand in the darkness? So if you stand in the light, say amen. Amen. If you stand in the darkness, say uh-oh. Uh-oh. I want to stand in the light. I want to stand in the light as I walk out of here. I want to be transformed by the light as I walk out of here. I want the Lord to rain down in me, on me, through me, all the above. So that when people see me, they don't see Jason. They see God is doing a work. That God is doing something major in this guy's life. And I want people to see the same in your lives. That God is doing a work in your lives. That when you walk out of here, even though you face trials, even though you face tribulations, all those things, God is doing a work. And you are overcoming those things. Amen?
You know, when it comes to all of our failures and all of our shame and all of our sins and the things that we've done, the things that we fear, just the negative things about who we are, we tend to hide those things. We tend to hide them from ourselves, from God, and from other people. And I think in part it's because we're ashamed, but it's in part is because we don't want other people to see that bad stuff. Sometimes I don't think that we want ourselves to see those bad things. And so we hide them. Just, it's an act of shame. We hide them. The bad part about that is, when we hide them, we're keeping them in the darkness and light doesn't get to them. We don't allow the light to get to them. And so those are things that can never get taken care of in our lives. Those sins, those fears, those anxieties, those acts of shame, those, whatever they are, insecurities, you name it, whatever you're going through, those things in the darkness. My prayer for you today is that you would let the light in, because when you let the light in, it's a light of love. It's an ever loving light that just is able to well up in that darkness and take care of it. We think that God is a God of condemnation. We think that God is going to smite us because of all the things that we've done. And if we reveal those things, that's why Adam hid in the garden. It wasn't that he was physically naked, because remember, they sowed the fig leaves. But it's because he was spiritually naked. He was ashamed of what he had done. He was ashamed that he disobeyed God, and he realized that that covering then was gone. There was something now that was in the darkness that he didn't want exposed. Same with Eve. Same with us. We do the exact same thing. We have these things that we've done that they're done in the dark. They're kept in the dark. We don't want anybody to see them. But when we allow that exposition, that's why God said that if you would confess your sin, he's faithful to forgive you. Why? Why does that confession happen? It's because you're allowing the light to come into the darkness. You're exposing the darkness. It's not that God wants to set you up for condemnation. It's not that God wants to set you up on a pedestal and say, oh, look at this person and look at what they've done. No, he wants to be able to love you in those places and to be able to allow that love to wash away all of that sin. It's what he came for. It's what just what Jesus came for on the cross. And I pray that you would let him do that for you this day. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much that your word brings life. Your word says that, incline your ear, my son, to the word, because it's flesh, it's life to your flesh and to your bones. That your spirit would even heal our mortal bodies through it. And I pray, Lord, that somebody who's listening today, this person who's listening today, pray that they would experience healing, not only in their spirit, but in their body. Not only in their body, but in their mind. And not only in their mind, but in their heart. And I pray, Lord, that they become a brand new creation because they have you. Then they have your love because they've allowed your light to come into the darkness. All of those places that they have been, that's darkness, all the places that they are ashamed of, Lord, that you can come in with your love and you can come in and well up within them. No condemnation, no condemnation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. And there is no condemnation. Pray, Lord, that you would bestow that love upon them. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Fresh Brew with me, Pastor Jason Vandermark. Hey, this is Pastor Jason. I wanted to invite you to our Sunday service at 9:30 a.m. It's low-key, come as you are. We're a pretty down-to-earth crowd. We come and worship and sing his praises. We dive into the Word of God, and we hang out and have fun. Not sure about it yet? Check us out on Facebook and YouTube. Join in on a live stream and see what we're about. While you're at it, check us out on the web at a2cchurch.com. That's A, the number 2, cchurch.com. Hope to see you soon.